today. Back with another Midnight Podcast
recording. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Today we're going to be talking about our final thoughts on Donkey Kong Bonanza before the game launches. And we finally get to play it. I'm getting excited. Are you excited?
It's almost surreal that this game is coming out in a week. Like,
I know.
You know, it still feels like we are in the throes of the Switch 2 launch and Mario Kart and all of that, and still just like, oh my gosh, we have this new system. How cool. And to be getting a game of this caliber this soon after is absolutely amazing. And by all accounts, this might be the best Switch 2 game that we get like all year long.
All year, right.
So I am starting to get really excited.
Yeah, me too. There has been some development around this game that has happened in the last like week and a half or so. So we hadn't had a chance to talk about all these things together yet. So I'm excited to hear like what you've been seeing, if you've been seeing anything. You're still on vacation. So have you seen anything while you're away? But in either case, we have some final thoughts that we want to share. And we're really getting excited about this game coming out in a week, which is so crazy to think about.
I have been seeing all sorts of things to answer your question. But yes, I am still in France. I'm here for a couple more days. I'm currently in the Brittany region, and I'm here for a little bit more. It's such an incredible day yesterday. I visited Mont Saint-Michel, which is this incredible landmark that I had wanted to go to for years. It is what is on the cover of Castlevania Symphony of the Moon, strangely. It's what I think Peach
Symphony
Beach
of the in, Night.
Excuse me, Symphony of the Night.
That's not the right name of the game.
No, I said that because they have a giant moon inside. That's like, why is this here?
Your
What's
brain's
going on
been
here?
Addled.
My brain,
like butter.
I'm creating
and
a new
baguettes.
Reality. Yes. Yeah, that is definitely true. There's going to be some serious
dieting
happening when I return. But yes, it's been a wonderful time here. But yeah, perfect timing for me to get back around the end of the week and change my focus to
bananas.
Girlfriend Donkey Kong.
Instead of baguettes, it's bananas.
The baguettes are very good. I will tell
Don't
you that.
Don't butter
much.
That banana, let me tell you.
And again, you know, in Claire Obscure, and so first of all, I am definitely recreating that Claire Obscure look for Halloween. I am the region I'm in now is the region where you get those black and white striped shirts. Like that is the like everywhere you go. It's like, oh, get this shirt.
Did you buy a souvenir beret yet?
Get a beret. I can't buy that hair. I can't be seen buying that hair.
You really shouldn't have any business. You really shouldn't be buying a stripy shirt either.
But again, this idea of like, oh, you don't just see people walking around with baguettes. Yes, you do. You absolutely do. This is a commonplace occurrence. People just walking around, take a hunk off of this baguette, eat it. It's delicious. Do it. Enjoy life. Yes.
So good. Why would you not? The bread tastes so good. No. You absolutely should be carrying it around. It's delicious.
Yes.
Very happy that you're having a great time. You've been sharing some lovely photos. You also did a really fun behind the scenes where you like took us around where you are in France right now and showed the good people on patreon.com/kitandkrista the amazing Mont Saint-Michel. And it was just so cool. Like we've had some really fun behind the scenes because you've been showing us your vacation. So that's really cool.
I did. Normally our behind the scenes is us in the studios kind of talking about what's going on and what videos we have coming up. But the last couple of weeks, since we've been doing things a little bit differently, you did a wonderful cooking video.
I did. I was in my kitchen.
I did a little mini travelogue. Yeah. To Mont Saint-Michel yesterday. So those are Patreon exclusive if you want to check those out. But yeah, it's been fun to do something a little bit different with those.
So much fun. At the time of this recording,
we
are about 40 subscribers away from
perilously close to 100K.
To 100K. Yes, exactly. So by the time this comes out, we may already be there, which means, yay, we made it. Hopefully it's like we don't lose like a whole bunch before this episode. It would be terrible. That would be so bad. But no,
that's what we always said. When you hit the milestone, way to beat. Before you put out the celebratory whatever, because then people can unsubscribe and then you're like, oh, wait.
You got to wait
until
it gets to like 100 and like 15, like something like that, you know?
You need a buffer.
You need a little buffer, yeah. Because sometimes it, like, you know, it kind of fluctuates a little bit.
Right.
But I've been refreshing like a maniac all week long because we're so, so close. And we did say that when we got to 100K, we would be revealing sort of the fun celebratory week that we're going to be doing to commemorate this amazing milestone. And we're so lucky that Donkey Kong is coming out probably the same week where we hit this milestone. So we're going to be doing Donkey Kong Week.
That's
right. Which is going to be so much fun. We haven't done one of these themed weeks for a little while now. So yeah, what a great way to celebrate 100,000 bananas than to do Donkey Kong Week.
Yes. And we actually already have our first video ready to go. It's going to be out on Monday. And this is I'm really excited that we were able to do this. This is us reacting to the Donkey Kong Country Exposed VHS tape, which I own. And this is a promotional thing from Nintendo Power from back in the day. Takes you behind the scenes at Nintendo of America. 90s vibes are through the roof. I'm not sure. Have you? You've it's never awesome. Seen that before, right? Yes. So we have a full reaction
I've
to that
never
coming
seen
Monday.
That before.
Perfect start to Donkey Kong Week.
It's so cool because there's a lot of people in that video that we know personally. We worked with them when we were at Nintendo. They're not that young anymore, obviously, because it's been like a long time. But they're still at Nintendo, and it's so crazy because you see their joyful, youthful, innocent little faces, and you're like, oh, that was a different time. You're a different.
That is an underrated detail. Of like, so oh, yeah, cool there's so-and-so. Actually, he's still there. There's so-and-so. And we will call them all out
exactly.
when we go through the video. So that's what's starting.
So good.
Donkey Kong Week. But stay tuned for the rest of the entire schedule.
Yeah. Our 100K celebration continues with our Switch 2 giveaway, kindly donated by our final boss, Aaron Hash. And that runs through July 18th. So there's still time for you to enter for a chance to win. And we have all the entry details on our Twitter and some of our other social channels. But yeah, hope you guys enter for a chance to win. It is the Mario Kart bundle. So if you still want a Switch 2, we are giving one away. So that's a fun way to celebrate the community.
Yeah, yeah. You have been busy with some videos that you have been posting of yourself exclusively. Please tell us about them.
Yes, you're not here, so I have to run the show solo. But I do have a few videos. One, all of these videos should be out by the time this podcast is out. So they should be already on the channel. But I did one where I go through some great indie games that I love that, you know, really a lot of these indie games are very like narrative driven indie games. You know, you guys know that I love a good story. I love, you know, something that gives me a perspective into something real that maybe someone else is going through. And that's kind of what these indie games are themed after. And these are all still on sale in the eShop as well. So I think that sale is ending like very, very soon. So great time to pick up these indie games if you haven't checked them out yet, but they're all amazing. And I personally just like love playing these games that like kind of with the stories that kind of stick to you. So that was really fun for me to make. And then I also have been itching to go back to my Animal Crossing Island since I've gotten my Switch 2 because I've heard so many things about like, oh, the load times are so much better. Like the game runs better on a Switch 2. And I had stopped playing a long time ago because of those reasons, like really bad load times. And like, I kind of was like not really itching to spend every day there because it was kind of chugging on my OLED. So I wanted to go back and check it out. It's also been a really, really long time since I've been there. And I'm like kind of nervous about getting the guilt trip from the animals. So I had to do it and do it in a video so that I can have moral support from you guys because I didn't want to go alone. Too sad. But yeah, I think those two videos are both out now. So check them out on the channel if you haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, and I'll be back on Monday. So again, for Donkey Kong Week, we'll be back together. So thanks for holding down the fort for these couple weeks.
I did it.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Let's not wait too long to get into our big discussion of Donkey Kong Bonanza. But of course, first, we have to shout out our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Raycon. And
wow,
it is summer, if you haven't noticed. My gosh, summer here, it doesn't get dark until like 10:30. So whoa, I've just been spending time outside. It's wonderful. It's perfect. And the perfect accessory for your summer, the Raycon Everyday Earbuds.
They're so nice if you're out for a walk, if you're kind of doing stuff outside, you know, even if you're doing things like kind of boring stuff, like taking a work call outside, these are amazing. They work so well. They, you know, really easily connect to all your devices. They have a super, super long 32-hour battery life. And it's just awesome. I truly use these every day. Like the naming of this is perfect because I honestly just use these things every single day. And I never reach for any other earbuds because they're so convenient and so nice.
Yeah, I brought these with me on this trip and they were so clutch on the flight because they're so small, so compact. Again, I was just like sandwiched into this tiny, tiny seat. So something that I could just stick into my ear. They lasted the whole time. The noise cancellation was so nice, and yet travel light. Don't bring like some of these giant that bring up your whole backpack. It's like forget that. I've got these tiny little things that just go in my little bag, and I'm ready to go. And they come in all these great colors. I have the very sleek black, but they come in all sorts of other cool colors too.
The blush violet is my favorite color. It's like this like lavendery purple color. They also have a forest green one that's really nice for summer. Yeah, they're very fashionable and they actually look really, really sleek. So yeah, they're amazing. I love them.
Yeah. And there's a 30-day happiness guarantee, so you can buy with confidence. So go to buyraycon.com/Kate and Krista and get 15% off Raycon's best-selling everyday earbuds. And right now, Raycon's offering 15% off their best-selling everyday earbuds only at buyraycon.com/Kit and Krista. That is buyraycon.com/Kit and Krista.
I'll put the link right over here with a QR code that you can scan and also in the description below.
All right, time to get the bananergy up for some bonanza talk.
It's almost midnight. We need bananergy.
Chest pounding. Yes. So we want to go through some of the new information that's come out. We want to ask ourselves some big picture questions and just get a feel for, you know, what the hype meter is ringing in at for this game. Maybe to get us started, I want to ask you a question, which is Nintendo's really like ramped up the information that's coming out on this game. What's a question that you still have about Donkey Kong Bonanza?
I still have a few questions around how much sort of, for a lack of a better description, like how much Minecraftiness is this game. Like I've seen a lot of previews from people that have played the game that went to Nintendo's preview event. I obviously talked to our good friend Nintendo Fangirl all about the game. She went to the preview event and played the game for 90 minutes and got a good sense of the gameplay as well. But Nintendo has been going down this path, and even with like games like Tears of the Kingdom, where it's very like makery and tinkery-y. And to a degree, I love that. I love the, you know, the freedom that when, you know, these kinds of Nintendo games give you to explore the world or play it your, you know, your way, or like find a way that really works for you as a player. But on the other hand, I can be kind of bad at these things. Like what happened to me with Tears of the Kingdom, where I was just like dumb and I could not figure out like the physics of all the stuff. And I always felt bad when people were doing these amazing things in Tears of the Kingdom and I was just like too stupid to do it. So I do wonder if this game is like super Minecrafty, where like it goes so deep that I can't do it. And then I feel bad. So I'm a little unsure about like the depth of the gameplay mechanics. It seems like a lot and they're like very layered. So I do wonder like what that's going to feel like. And I think that I won't know until I actually get the game and start playing it, and other people start playing and start doing stuff. And then we get those memes like, did you know you could do this? Like, I feel like that's when you'll actually be able to answer that question. But that's a pretty big one that I have is like, will I be good at this game?
Okay, that's an interesting one. I always was viewing the game as more of a, it's about tearing down and the destruction versus building up. And I think the tearing down is a bit more straightforward. We did see in the trailers those options of him like throwing clumps of sand and creating kind of like a land bridge using that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I saw a few other people who went to that last round of previews making that comment too of like, yeah, this is kind of continuing the trend of Nintendo being a bit more tinkery, a bit more makery.
Sandboxy.
So yeah, that's an interesting that's an interesting thing to point out. I'm very focused on the destruction, so I'm a little less worried about it.
Maybe I'll be better at destroying things versus building things.
I think we all are. It's like, you know, going upstairs versus going downstairs. Going down is easy.
It's really hard.
I just climbed a 1,000-foot, you know, mountain on an island yesterday. I was like, oh, it's a lot easier coming down. That's a real nice fact of life. I think it's easier to break something than to meticulously put it together.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. What about you? Do you have any big questions left over that you haven't gotten an answer to yet?
I'm still very curious about the story behind this game, and we've seen all the theories, and we're going to get into some of these theories in a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just the entire setting, from the very moment we saw this game, felt very different from a Donkey Kong game.
Yeah.
And to me, like the color palette of the game, I get that you're underground. It feels very different. There's maybe like a more limited set of colors that are there. So I'm just wondering, like, again, like what how is Donkey Kong finding himself in this setting? I mean, we kind of know, but I really am curious about the details. And this is not, you know, 100-hour RPG. So my expectations are definitely in check about how the story is going to be told and how much story detail we're going to get. But it's just kind of, you know, the key beats of the setup. I'm very curious about that and how they kind of landed on that. Because it's definitely not, if I was making a Donkey Kong game, This is not the story or the setting that I probably would have chosen. So I'm like, oh, wow, what a unique approach for them to take.
Right. It's true. It's very like unlike the jungle setting that we normally find Donkey Kong in, like even more like that island sort of setting. This is like so different from that. Like, yeah, you do get sort of maybe where they were going because there's like mine carts or some kind of mining theme in, you know, classic Donkey Kong game. So it's interesting that they took that specific direction. And obviously with the introduction of this teenage Pauline, like that just opens the door for so many possibilities and questions. And yeah, I can't wait to find out about like Pauline and Donkey Kong's like friendship and all of those little character things about the two of them. So that's definitely something that's not really like a big question, but just something I'm pretty excited about.
Okay. I'm going to try and predict now the thing about the game that you are the most excited about. And you can tell me if I am correct.
Okay.
I think it's the musical element of this game. Because you've been very excited about Pauline.
It's so true.
And at a certain point, I asked, I kind of went out on a limb. And I was like, do you see yourself as Pauline? It's like, do you kind of see a parallel between you and her? Again, you're both very small. I guess you have that in common. But I kind of got that feeling as I was watching your reaction to all of this.
It's so true. I do love it. I do love the musical aspects of it. I did go through a phase in my life where I really wanted to be a singer. So my mom is a singer, a professional singer. And she studied at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. She was an opera singer. My grandmother was an opera singer. Professional opera singer. She was the dean of the music college in China. She like ran the music college. And so I kind of come from a strangely musical family. I'm not an opera singer, but I do love to sing. And I had a kind of a very short period in my life where I like tried to do it. Like I tried to make it. And I was doing a lot of like smaller performances. And I was like a wedding singer for a couple of years. So I actually
American Idol
to become a pop star. Yeah, like stuff like that. Exactly. I try to do like competitions and like gigs, as they would say back in the day. And wow. I tried. And of course, it obviously is like really hard to do to become a pop star. And I remember my mom was like, yeah, don't do it. It's like really hard. So now she's a music teacher and she teaches piano. And you guys have, you know, if you were following the early days of this podcast, you would remember we would film at my mom's house. You would hear the piano playing downstairs. But she teaches like voice lessons and piano lessons. So I definitely grew up around music and singing. And so that it totally resonated with me. I was just like, I want to be a pop star. So I'm like so excited to you know, hear the music. And yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see her sing. And I want to sing the songs. I'm so excited about it. I'm really jazzed about it.
Hey, I think I need to cancel my plans for the Clair Obscur outfit with the baguette so that we can do a Pauline and Donkey Kong outfit for Halloween instead.
Okay, I think you're most excited about all of the destruction, but you're just excited to play as the powerful Donkey Kong. Like you just want to like pound around and like see what mischief you can get into and tear things down and just feel like the weight and the might of Donkey Kong.
It's true. I've been saying that from the very beginning, and I'm a very simple person. I like these characters who just have like almost limitless power. So like, I'm so fascinated by like the Incredible Hulk of like, well, what is the extent of his power? And like, what are the things that he could do? Like, oh, he's strong. So he can jump a mile into the sky. Like there's something about that I just find really interesting. And they've really like cranked up the power factor for Donkey Kong in this game so high that it's something that I'm really excited about. I'm really excited to kind of test the limits of the destructibility, to see like how far you can push that. To your point, how can you use destructibility in a creative way versus strictly a destructive way? There's not a lot of games that really hone in on this element and do it in a really effective way. And I think this is going to be added to the very short list of games that get the thumbs up on the destructibility.
And I think you're a very accomplished like 3D platforming player. Like you really, you play a lot of these types of games. You're good at them. And we saw in the direct, there's so many different ways to combo all of Donkey Kong's movesets. And I remember when we were playing Odyssey, like you were by the end of that game, when you got the 999 moons, you were doing some crazy stuff with Cappy and like you were doing all the tricks. Like I couldn't do any of those things. I was just like, jump, jump. But you were doing like insane tricks. And so I feel like you're going to be doing that in this game. Like a lot of times, like I'm like, I wish I could do that, but it's just not going to happen. But I think you probably do it.
Well, that's a great segue to our next thing here, which is, you know, over the past week, we did get the confirmation that this game is being made by the Mario Odyssey team. That was something that Nintendo was confirming to the people who were attending those events. And again, I don't know why they waited 2 months to just let us know something
so
that
weird.
Everybody had a feeling on that was absolutely great news for this game. It's a bit of a baffling decision, but at least we know now. And yeah, that does open up all these doors of like, gosh, like the depth of gameplay that all of those Tokyo Team games have had. But just having this confirmation, how does that make you feel about the game now?
I mean, I've always felt pretty good about this game. I think from the first reveal to us seeing and being absolutely mind blown by that amazing direct and then seeing people's previews and like really, you know, their impressions playing the game and really loving the game. Like, I think we've always felt good and super, super positive on this game. So this is, again, they're just confirming something that we already were like almost 98% sure about. So it's like a weird thing to be cagey about it. They didn't specifically say who exactly on the Odyssey team is making this game. So it could be like not Koizumi. It could be somebody else that worked on Odyssey. So we don't know that detail, but I think I've always felt good about this game, and with this confirmation, it's just like, I guess you're just checking like one another box out of the 20 you've already checked. So I think we're good. Like, I think we're in. I think, you know, everything about the game itself, that what we saw spoke to the super high quality of this game. So I'm not surprised at all that the Odyssey team is behind this.
Yeah, for me, it makes me think a couple things. You know, first of all, any question that anybody had about the quality of the game, you can just throw that out, because this team just makes, you know, 90 plus Metacritic games consistently right. for the last decade plus. Second, I do have to give some kudos to Nintendo for doing the more risky move of just not being like, well, you guys make the 3D Mario games, so better get started on the next one of those. Of no, they are trying something different with a different character that operates differently, that is not Mario, where they had to stretch themselves and do things a little bit differently. So as we all lament kind of the state of the games industry and, you know, how these teams just get railroaded into making the same thing again and again until there's no creative spark left, like, I think that really does need to be applauded. And then there's the whole point of, you know, the whole counterpoint of that, of like, oh, well, and you know, we asked this question ourselves. We're like, well, what does this mean for 3D Mario? It's not something I'm even thinking about at all at this point. Like, I'm certain that we'll get a 3D Mario game at some point this generation. We tend to get at least one per generation, so we'll get it. It doesn't matter to me whether it's, you know, this year or next year or whenever. It's coming, and I'm confident that they'll have a lot of other good games along the way. So I'm just going to enjoy this game and the other games as they come. And I'm just setting aside that whole question. I've seen a lot of people, you know, having different theories of like, no, they do have now they've staffed up and they have multiple teams, and that's great. But if we have to wait, you know, closer to the end of the generation to get the big Odyssey caliber 3D Mario game, then I'm fine with that as well.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a shakeup in terms of launch titles, or just like the schedule of, you know, the big AAA Nintendo games being released for the Switch 2 generation. Like, they're just kind of doing things slightly differently. You know, obviously with the Switch 1 release, they had that like crazy double whammy of a 3D Zelda and a 3D Mario game in one year. Obviously, we're not getting that this year. They may just have like a slightly different strategy of like saving some of those other like big Nintendo franchises, like a 3D Zelda and a 3D Mario, for a slightly later time. And from everything that we've seen of this Donkey Kong game, I don't think that, you know, the game is so good that I don't think you're really going to lament not having a 3D Mario game. I think you're going to have a lot of fun playing this game, and you're going to be playing this game for a long time, and it's going to be really satisfying to play this game. So I don't think we're going to be like, oh, you know, I'm really missing. This is really a gap that they need to fill. I don't think that's going to be the reaction. So I'm also in the same camp as you, where I just feel like, yeah, this game is going to be fantastic, and it's going to like scratch the itch that we all have for like a really great narrative driven, like super tight gameplay 3D platformer. And we don't need to worry about when that Mario game comes, it will come, but we're not going to be like missing it because this game is so great.
I think this news also for me is just kind of the cherry on top of the Donkey Kong Renaissance that we felt was coming in these different waves, but now is like fully confirmed of like, no, Nintendo did kind of, you could use the word mismanage Donkey Kong for a while, where they would have these long stretches of time with no games and really nothing going on. But it's like, no, now Donkey Kong is a major priority, because we had major role for Donkey Kong in the movie and potentially in future movies. Who knows, maybe a standalone Donkey Kong movie at this point. We have the theme park. Now we have this game made by one of the premier teams that Nintendo has. I still do have the big question about the theme park. Why is the theme park still using the old artwork when you had the new artwork? I don't know. that's a question for another time, and something that they'll probably clean up on a rolling basis as time goes on. But yeah, put DK back up on the tier list of important Nintendo characters today.
We used to do that all the time when we worked at Nintendo, the character rankings internally, and there would be so much like market study behind, you know, the popularity of different Nintendo characters and sort of what the scale is for different Nintendo characters in terms of like people's familiarity with them, people's affinity towards them. Obviously, Mario is always, you know, top of that list for obvious reasons, but there were a lot of times where when we were at Nintendo and about to launch a game, especially games like Smash or Mario Kart, where there's lots of Nintendo characters, we would do that ranking, like which character should we put after Mario? Which character should we put after Link, you know, as like a premier Nintendo character to highlight? And for a long time, I really do think Nintendo neglected Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong had so much more potential, and we, you know, we would bring it up whenever we had a Donkey Kong game, obviously, but like I feel like now they're finally doing it. They're finally doing that thing where they are realizing that, yeah, Donkey Kong can be elevated to the status of like a super premier AAA Nintendo character, and they've started to do that work beyond games and in all these entertainment things that you were just talking about. But I'm really happy to see it because I love Donkey Kong, and I do feel like Donkey Kong has been like underutilized for a long time. So I'm really happy to see him and Pauline become more of like that into that echelon of Nintendo characters. That's really exciting and really cool to see.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you mentioned of the kind of rankings and the research, and it's so true that we did see that often. But the thing that didn't make sense was when we saw the results of those rankings of like, all right, here's how many people know about this and are excited mm-hmm. about these characters. Donkey Kong was always super high on that list.
Yes.
And we were always like a little puzzled of like, wait, it's like Mario, Donkey Kong, Link. And then it's like a big fall off to like all these other characters. Like, how did Donkey Kong get up there? And he's like, well, he's been around for a long time, or he's a monkey. So he's got a very simple design, or you know, it's similar to King Kong and people know King Kong, so you're getting a boost that way. But for whatever reason, like, he was always up there, so it always felt like, well, why are we not doing more? Because he's clearly yeah. on people's minds. So it's kind of like a return to like, yes, let's give the people what they want. The people want exactly. Donkey Kong, and they want a banana. Here we go.
It's the simple things that we want. Yeah, Donkey Kong would oftentimes rank much higher than like Luigi and Princess Peach. Like I worked on all of that when we did Smash. That was like a huge deal because we had so many characters. We had to like prioritize like what is the top five that we would feature in marketing. And there was like a lot of research behind. They would do like focus groups and all sorts of stuff to get to those answers. It was fascinating because, yeah, it's like while Donkey Kong always ranked really high, Nintendo always seemed kind of reluctant to do something with Donkey Kong. Maybe it's because like Rare had it for a while and now they're like, oh, we don't want to, like, we have to like redo this character. There's some other thing I think tripping them up, and now it does feel like Donkey Kong has had this big homecoming and the character is now like with the most like prestige team, now like kind of working on it and babying and gently brushing our sweet Donkey Kong, feeding him bananas every day. So I think he's in good hands now. And I think hopefully that means we'll just see more of Donkey Kong moving forward, which will make me very happy.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago the element of platforming here. And I do want to ask you this question because it's been a question I've been asking myself, which is this game a true 3D platformer, or is it something a little different?
I think it is. I think it is. I think it's a 3D platformer with like frills. Like it does have that signature like Nintendo EAD creativity. Like what we saw, again, just to draw some parallels between this game and Odyssey, now that we know, like I definitely see the parallels even more. For sure, you kind of see the idea of like, we want to have the core gameplay mechanic be 3D platforming. Like that's how you're moving around the world. But we're going to add all of these bells and whistles for how you're going to traverse this world. Like whether it's the destruction, whether it's like all the crazy combos that we saw, in that direct, which I watched that direct at this point, like at least 10 times. And I'm still like, how many combos are there in this game? It seems so like just so robust. Like I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around that. But I think the core element of it, you know, the core like foundation of it is still 3D platform, which this team just knows how to do so well. So it's good that they're building on this foundation, but adding like more creativity to it. But yeah, I do think that's the case. I hope I'm going to be able to play this game because I'm scared. I'm really bad at 3D platforming games. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I was initially, when this game was revealed, I was kind of the mind of like, well, it's got some platforming elements, but at its heart, it's maybe more of an action game. And at some point, like the lines between all these genres starts to blur. But yeah. After the direct, I did come around of like, no, there is a lot of platforming elements to this, but they've introduced new ways for you to interact with the world. Like at these days, we can't just say like, well, it's a platformer. So what you do is you jump. Like Odyssey introduced the whole Cappy mechanic, and there was so much that you could do with Cappy, like as a tool to help you do all these different things while also accentuating the jumping mechanics. Like I think it's right that, like, yes, there's all the jumping and the traversal, but the destruction is the other additional element that they have introduced that makes this game unique. So, yes, to answer the question, I have come around, and I will say, yes, this is now very clearly a platformer in my mind versus before I was like, yeah, it might be more of an action game.
I'm very glad that there is the co-op option, because if all else fails, and I'm really bad at this game, and when I get to those levels later on that get really hard, you're taking over and I'm going to be
the co-op calling. Looks so fun. Yeah.
And when I was talking to Nintendo fangirl, she was like, the co-op made the game like so much easier. So if you're having a really hard time, you can fall back on that. I'm like, oh, thank God.
That's good. I mean, Pauline seems really powerful in co-op. Just like her singing, just like, like brick walling through these people.
She says like, you know, in the direct, they showed her like kind of doing the singing and throwing those rocks very like, kind of like, she wasn't like doing it all the time, but you could just like spam that button. You can just like smash the A button like crazy. And she's just like, ah! And then she would just like do all the things. And so I was like, oh, okay, that sounds good. I want to do that.
There is also, and they showed it in the direct, and I'm forgetting the name. It's not easy mode, but there's something that's like
assist mode
that makes things mode a little bit easier. And again, back to the platforming point, I'm not sure how much. In just the straight, I'm sure there'll be some like bonus stuff that will get really precise and really hard, kind of like that like Champions Road stuff that those games always have. But I think kind of if you're critical pathing the game, I feel like the super precision jumping, I don't know how much of that I am expecting in this game versus a combination of things that the game's asking you to do. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, we just recently played 2D Donkey Kong game, Donkey Kong Country, but it was like really hard. Like I could barely get through that game. It was so hard. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, did I beat this game even? I don't even remember. I must have not.
Rewind.
It looked really hard. It was really, really hard. So I feel like that is kind of a bit of a DNA of this game though, is that it needs to have some difficulty because, you know, that is part of what makes these games like fun. So I hope they don't take it all out, obviously. But I do like the idea that there is like potentially an assist mode or some kind of co-op option if you need help. I might need help. But yeah.
And kind of going back to all the thing you were saying about all the variety of moves and variety of combos, we had this reaction like during the direct where it just kind of kept going and we were like, whoa, like when is this going to stop? They just keep showing us stuff. It just goes and goes and goes. Like, do you think there's any potential element of like, well, there's maybe actually a bit too much in this game. Like maybe this game would have been better served if they clearly had a lot of ideas, but maybe if they stripped down and focused on just a couple versus here's all this stuff. Whoa.
I know. I was overwhelmed watching that direct. It just definitely felt like it kept going. And then I watched it so many more times and I was like, whoa, that just, I still don't really understand how all of this stuff will work together. but I do get the sense that you don't have to do all of it. Like, you can just, if you just wanted to like do one thing, which is like punching or whatever, or throwing sometimes, like I think you can do that and still get through the game. I think the game is like, they're giving you a lot of options, but I don't think it's like, there's going to be a point in the game where they're like, okay, now do all of these 10 mechanics in a row perfectly, finger gymnastics, like get ready. I kind of don't think that's the feeling, the sense that I'm getting, at least I hope not, because that would be a little overwhelming. So if it's just like, choose one of 8 things to do at a certain point, that's all right. I think that seems okay. That seems like something you could learn and slowly get better at. But yeah, if it becomes like a situation where it's like, okay, now you have to like, you have to do these combos and that's the only way to get through certain portions of the game, that might be a bit hard.
Yeah, I'm fine with everything that is in, kind of the main core of the game. I think it's great to have all those options. I think it's going to be fun to test all those out and see kind of how I prefer to play. I think the moment in the direct where I was like, all right, maybe we've gone too far, is that little side mode where you're like chiseling rocks and like painting rocks. And it's like, all right.
It's nice. The artist mode?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's nice that they threw this in, but I don't think I'm going to be really spending a lot of time here.
I don't need to look at what other people are making.
Because we already know what they're going to make.
We know what
disgusting.
They're going to make. Yucky bananas.
Again, this is the way to skirt the censors. It's a banana.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a banana. That's all you got to say. Anyway,
big
moving
banana
on.
Energy.
We must move on. So from what we've seen, the Void Company are kind of the key villains that we've seen so far. Are you satisfied with them as villains, though?
I don't know. I don't know them well enough yet. They certainly seem to have some personality. They look very strange and they have a very specific look. It is always interesting when they introduce like brand new characters or whatever, because it's like you can totally go both ways, because it's like if you don't introduce any brand new characters, then you're kind of like, well, you didn't really, like, you're not innovating or whatever. But then when they do, people are like, I hate this. But it does kind of remind me of those terrible bunnies from
the Brutals.
Yes, I did not like them. Did you like the Brutals?
I feel the exact same way. I think there's like such a straight line between the Brutals and the Void Company. And I'm going to just come out and say, I am not satisfied with Void Company as the main enemy. I refuse to believe that they are the big bads of this game. I think whether it's K. Rool or somebody else, I think there's something, a surface above them that we will not find out until this game releases.
That's gotta be a big surprise.
Exactly. There's just something about them that's not, I don't know. It's not intimidating enough. It's not powerful enough. It's not enough of a good adversary for DK from what I've seen so far. So they're fine as the little like underling henchman types, but no, there's something more waiting for us after
they
that.
Do have a sort of like underling henchman energy. I will say, like, the kind of like middle manager, like corporate middle manager kind of feeling. So yeah, I can be convinced that there's something more, but Odyssey never had, well, actually, never mind. I don't want to spoil Odyssey.
Excuse me.
No, forget it. Erase what I said from your memory if you didn't play this game yet. Anyhow, so yeah, there could be some surprises, I think, in there still. But yeah, I did not like the Brutals, and if it's the Odyssey team, it does feel like they like to do sort of like minion-y, like just out of left field, not from, current villain type characters. So we will see, but I don't want to get my hopes up in case they really are just those guys.
Yes. So we might have some theories about a K. Rool. Theories of what you've seen, story theories. I want to take a beat and talk about those, since you are the one of us who is more invested in story. What are you personally buying as far as any story theories or lore theories that you have seen?
I really do like this prequel theory a lot. Like, is this the prequel to Odyssey, or like the prequel to sort of the events that we know that kind of made up the Mushroom Kingdom and Mario and Pauline's role in Odyssey and Donkey Kong. I don't know. I keep looking at him. He does look younger. I don't know if I'm just convinced myself. He looks and acts a little bit different, like a little bit younger, like he's also not grown up yet. For some, maybe I'm just convincing myself. I don't know. But there is something about this prequel theory that really, really interesting to me. Because why is she a teenager? That's weird, right? Like, there's got to be some explanation for why they chose that particular age for her. That's a very specific choice. And it must have something to do with the story. So I kind of like that theory the best out of all of them so far.
That's also the theory that I'm aligned with as well. And like I said, I'm a very simple person. So for me, the most kind of straightforward and logical option is the one that I'm going to hitch my wagon to. And in this case, yeah, she's younger. So we went back in time to where they first met. And there's probably, you know, eventually she's been kidnapped by DK. Was this all a misunderstanding? I don't know.
So.
That's something that I'm interested to see. As far as talking about, you know, the story and potential surprises, I am still also very invested in the theory that Mario makes an appearance somewhere near the end to kind of set up the next wave of whatever happens. That's as far as I'm going, as far as, you know, the lore. If anybody mentions like a split timeline or anything, I'm just walking away conversation. Yes. Donkey Kong is defeated and the timeline split. No, I'm not even talking about any of that nonsense. So that's where I am. But again, like typically for a game like this, I'd be like, oh, the story, whatever, somebody, you know, we got to do something. It's like, no, I am more intrigued by the story in this game than I typically am for one of these.
I kind of have a feeling that there's going to be some kind of New Donk City scene at the end where it is like Pauline. I mean, all of them are like grown up and they're like in their current roles of like, she became like a famous singer and the mayor. She's so cool. Like, look at her go. And then Donkey Kong and her are still like really good friends or whatever. And like, yes, Mario makes an appearance somehow, somewhere. Like, there, I don't know. There's just something about that connection. And also that one part in the direct where they're like destroying the little like city, it totally looks like New Donk City, like in construction. So when they make it to the surface, where is the surface? Like, where are we in the world at the surface? Is it like a fledgling New Donk City? Is that the surface that she then becomes, you know, like the famous singer, and like they built, like literally like built the city together? Is that what happens? Like, I can get on board with that. I can definitely.
It's like the old saying, like, well, if you dig a hole, you'll come out on the other side of the world.
Oh, yeah, so, dig a hole to China.
And like, if you went to the center, but then you kept going, pop, and you just show up in this city.
Yeah.
The city built on bananas, not the city built on rock and roll.
Oh,
so that's
geez.
That's
both.
What New Donk. Yes, both.
Pop, sync songs, and bananas. The
yes,
strongest
exactly.
Foundation of all.
Handshake emoji. We built the city on rock and roll and bananas. Exactly. Makes perfect sense. Any other surprises you think maybe are being held back? Because I do think there's probably a couple.
I definitely think Mario, for sure, is like
oh, really?
In this game. Yeah, I think so too. I'm so excited to see him. Because if this is the 3D Mario team, they're going to sneak him in. They're going to sneak him in somehow. I was not convinced about King K. Rool until like recently. But now I'm like, okay, now I'm really hopeful. Because, you know, I love a King K. Rool. And I was trying to like not get my hopes up. But I do feel like, yeah, these Void people seem like middle management. And they don't seem like true, like the actual boss. So I do think there's like a secret boss. The other thing that I'm really curious about is I don't even know what they're called, but they're like the legendary cons with like the guy with like the banana.
Oh yeah.
Beard or whatever. The monkey with the big banana beard, but those are like good guys. Like, I guess that's where you get all those like, bonanza powers or whatever. And they're, like, I only noticed this because I was talking to Nintendo Fangirl, but they're wearing headphones and they're like at little like DJ booths. And so there's something like musically inclined about those guys too. And I'm very curious about like how they kind of fit into the whole thing, because I guess how you get those like bonanza powers when Donkey Kong like transforms into like a zebra or like a flamingo or whatever, Pauline has to go like sing the song and like entertain those guys, and then they like give him the and Donkey Kong gets the power. So there's something connecting the singing and these like musical ancient Kongs or whatever. So I don't know where they're going with this, but I think that's important because the name of the game is Donkey Kong Bonanza. So there's got to be something there, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot there. And yeah, the K. Rool one is one that I'm on board with that. You know, it seemed like initially I was asking myself, like, are they just jettisoning all of the old Rare stuff? Because it's like, no, we're going to do it our way. But there are a lot of really nice nods to the Donkey Kong Country games that Rare did, and so many great homages to the music from there. So now I'm more open to that than I was a while back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too.
Okay. Let's wrap up Theory Corner. That's a hard-hitting question. Should this have been the Switch 2 launch game instead of Mario Kart? Would we all be in a better place if we'd been playing this game for a month instead of Mario Kart?
Gosh, it's so interesting to think about that, because I was so confused when I saw that this game was launching just a month after Mario Kart. And when we watched that initial Switch 2 Direct, we're like, oh my gosh, a new Donkey Kong game. And we were really excited about it. And we were like, July 17th, like, why is that game coming so soon after Mario Kart? We're all going to be playing Mario Kart still. Like, why do we need this game? Little did we know. We were like, we actually do really need this game, because I think interest is waning rapidly. And we do need something different and something a little bit meatier and like more like long play to sink our teeth into. So maybe they knew what they were doing. They like kind of saw that like 1-2 punch as the launch window sort of like strategy. It's like, yeah, we're gonna do this sort of main, like kind of broad audience game with Mario Kart, and then Donkey Kong, we're still not like completely sure about this character in this game because we haven't done a proper Donkey Kong game like in so long. So maybe they were trying to like hedge their bets a little bit. So that's the only explanation that I could think of in terms of like why these games are so close together, is that they kind of saw both titles as launch games almost. So I'm okay with this, mainly because I have been enjoying my 1 month of like, let's try out like 35 games all at once, because I haven't been as, you know, like focused on Mario Kart. I play Mario Kart like every single day, but not for a super, super long period of time. So now that I'm like waning on like sort of the launch games on Switch 2 after a month, I'm like ready for a big game like Donkey Kong. So I actually feel like the timing is kind of good now. Like I'm okay with this. Like for me, it works. I don't know about for other people, because a lot of people say like, I wish this was the launch game. I would have bought a Switch if it was.
Yeah. I'm going to say no, I don't think this would have been a better launch game than Mario Kart. I still think Mario Kart's great for, you know, that broad appeal of launching a system and getting people in the door and on board with the system. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about Mario Kart World or the state of that game, I still think that this was a better game to launch the system with. Yeah. And I do go back to, you know, my theory for this year of like, you really don't need to double up on big launch games, like one at a time, space them out. Make sure that you have something to sustain you throughout the year. I can buy into the idea of, yeah, this was kind of, you know, Mario Kart was launch game one, and this is kind of launch game 1A, mm-hmm. just coming a month later after, of course, you know, some people are going to have an itch to play something a little bit different. So I still think that this was a good flow of games for them.
You definitely need either Mario or Zelda on that box if you launch.
Yeah.
You just, there's no sort of other way around it, unfortunately. Like, everyone's like, why is it in Metroid? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why isn't it Donkey Kong? It's like, well, you need a game with Mario or Zelda in the title for it to be a launch game for hardware. So that's what they're doing. And but they know. They know that this game, that Mario Kart needs to have like a little, you know, like they need something else to make it feel like more substantial. So I feel like the timing feels like right.
Yeah. Do you dare to guess or predict the Metacritic score for this game?
Oh, man.
I dare you.
Oh, man. 97.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
No, 96, 97.
You could say whatever you want. Wow.
What's Mario Odyssey's Metacritic?
Yeah, I think Mario Odyssey is right around 97. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Like, that team does not make games that are below 90. So that's a perfectly fair number to, I mean, typically that would be an absurd number to put out there and predict.
97, like Odyssey.
For this team with a new game, that's totally within the realm of possibility. I'm going to go slightly lower, and I'm going to say 94, which is still like, that would make it, you know, probably the top rated game of the year. I just feel like people are a little more nitpicky these days about little things. I could be like, oh well, I didn't like the carving. I didn't want to do that. Or this, there's something that didn't click with me. I'm going to take it down a point because of that. But I still think it's going to be one of the best reviewed games of the year. One of the, you know, just the top games of the year overall. When we look back and remember 2025, like, oh yes, that was the year of Donkey Kong Bonanza and the Switch 2. How cool was that? My next question is, can this be game of the year? And for you personally,
I know,
who had previously declared that Clair Obscur
is
was like your favorite game ever. Is there any possibility that this can be unseated by old Donkey Kong?
You twisted my words, first of all.
I said it was
one of the best games I've ever played, and I still hold to that. It's definitely in like the top, you know, three games that I've ever played.
Five, three, a one.
The top 20. No, just kidding. I know. When I was like, there's no game that can top Clair Obscur. Like, there's absolutely no way. And I was looking at the launch calendar for the rest of the year. I'm like, there's no way. There's no Nintendo game that could ever topple, you know, Clair Obscur. And then I watched the Donkey Kong Direct and I was like, uh-oh. I know. I think there's a shot. Like, if this game is anything like Super Mario Odyssey, which was my game of the year that year, like, there's something, I mean, it's such a different game. It's like comparing apples and oranges, for sure. Like, or like bananas and baguettes. They're so different. But yeah, I think this game just feels like it can absolutely be GOTY contender. And, that's pretty, I don't know. That came out to surprise me, because I didn't really feel that way until I saw that direct. So,
yeah, I think it definitely can be. I think it's going to come down to, you know, the person who's making that decision and like the type of games that they want. Like, some people want something that's a bit more mature. Some people are more comfortable putting something like a Donkey Kong there. I think for myself, it's definitely, again, we've yet to play this game, but I think I'm definitely thinking like, yeah, it has the potential. It can do it. For me, it can surpass Clair Obscur, which is a game I absolutely love. That's probably the best game I've played to the year up to this point. Yeah. But I'm kind of ready for this to surpass it.
My heart is open.
Oh,
my heart is open.
That's nice.
I think it is. And like, the thing that I love about that I can see happening with this Donkey Kong game is I think it's going to make me feel some type of way. Like, yeah, there's something about these Odyssey games or these games that this team specifically makes, the overwhelming sense of joy that they can give you when you play. Like, even when I was watching that direct, I was like, I just couldn't stop smiling. Like, there was so much just like, I don't know, there is so much like joy and happiness in the games that they make. And it, again, that's a very different feeling than what you're feeling when you're playing a game like Clair Obscur, where you feel like devastation and like extreme emotional distraught, but it, in like a great way too. It's like these games are making you feel some type of way, you know? It's like really, really like bringing out these like very like deep emotions in you. So I'm excited. My heart is open for this.
Yeah, I think it's the game that we all need right now. You know, again, so many people are kind of tired or burnt out on the state of industry and the same type of game that we've been getting for so long. It just feels like, gosh, we're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again. And it's like this game to the rescue, swinging in on a banana with something that's really fresh, a new take on a character we all like and want to see more from one of the best teams in the entire industry. So I think it's perfect timing. I think people are going to be super, like the time is right for people to be receptive to this game. I think it's all lining up really well. Is your hype anything less than a 10 for this game?
No, it's 11.
Whoa! Two bananas. One
bananergy. My bananergy is at an 11.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. I'm
pretty much
freaking excited. I almost said a bad word. Sorry. 1234. Yeah. 1234.
I think I maxed out on hype as well. And usually I like, sometimes I try and be a little bit more reserved, like, oh, well, there's this thing or two. In this case, no, I have no reason to be reserved. It's a 10.
It's so a 10. And again, we're just lucky that this game, we're so happy that this game is coming out in like, you know, like less than a week by the time this podcast gets out. So we don't have to wait very much longer. And I'm so glad that. Yeah, I just like, I'm like, oh, thank goodness this is not like a holiday game. Because I don't know if I can wait that long to do this game. So it's like, ooh, thank goodness I'll have like a really like spanking new, beautifully like, you know, something that really takes advantage of the Switch 2. I'm going to dock my Switch for this. That's a big deal coming, at least for the first 10 minutes. At least for the first 10 minutes. This is what I do with Tears of the Kingdom. I played for the first like hour in dock and I was like, oh, I'm good. Back to bed. I'm ready to cry tears of joy. I'm ready for all of it. I'm ready.
Wonderful. Well, there's a lot more Donkey Kong to come. Donkey Kong Week kicks off next week. Please look forward to it. Let's jump into some games we are playing. I only have one thing and you have a bunch of things. I gotta say, it's tough. The schedule that I'm on it's tough to really dig into a lot of games. These dinners that I've been going to just go late into the night. Like you don't start until a little bit later and they just go and go and go. And then by the time you get back, you're tired and you're ready to go to bed. And
because you've eaten like 3 pounds of butter and a bunch of bread.
It's true.
Your blood has slowed.
I know. But I did find a new game to check out and a new game that's very topical to where I am and what I have been doing. I love doing that. So again, a while back when I went to Japan, I played Okami. It was a beautiful experience. The game I'm talking about here is Kingdom Come Deliverance, which is a game that came out several years ago on other platforms. But I think the Switch version that I'm playing came out maybe within the last year or two. How I would describe this game as like Skyrim, if it was in a realistic medieval setting. So it's a first-person game. It's got a lot of RPG elements. But again, it's really rooted in this like true historical medieval setting. And there's like a long setup at the beginning of like, all right, here's the time. I think it's like you're in the 1400s. You're in Central Europe. Like there's talk of like Hungarians, Czechs, like that kind of region. We're at this time of history. We have two popes. So we don't like choose your allegiance to which pope. Is it the pope in Rome or the pope in Avignon? It's like, okay, I kind of remember what was going on.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of remember from history class all the details of that. So again, for me, who's been visiting all of these kind of medieval sites, it's been cool to like, let's get a window into how these people lived. It is this kind of first person RPG. The first couple hours of the game, which I did kind of get you equipped with, you know, everything that you're going to be doing, kind of take you through like a slice of life of the main characters day to kind of show you like what you can do and how you can do it. Like you get a taste of battle, you get a taste of making things, you get a taste of exploration, which I think is a pretty smart way to set this game up. And then there's like a big event where your town is destroyed and you have to, you know, set out, you get raided by these other, this other army for seemingly no reason. And you have to escape and you're like the only survivor. And there's also this kind of mystery around your father, who is like the village blacksmith, but it's like, oh, he had a great past. Why did he settle and become the blacksmith in this lowly town?
Like Game of Thrones.
There's something that you don't know about
him. You're probably like a king's heir or something.
There's probably something like that.
You're probably a king's heir.
I haven't gotten far enough to find that out, but it's really cool so far, and it's a series I've been curious about. There was a sequel, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, that came out, I think, within the last year or so.
Yes.
And that's like a really, like, you need like a really high-end PC. Like the graphics in that are really detailed and realistic. Again, I'm playing this on the Switch 2. It's a Switch 1 game that I'm playing on the Switch 2. This is one of the games that was on sale recently that I picked up because I saw it in one of those videos of like, these are the games that get these big boosts on the Switch 2. And it runs pretty well. And I saw the clips from the Switch 1. It was running pretty roughly on that because it's a pretty big, it's a big game. So I'm very happy with how it's running on the Switch 2. I think the one kind of criticism that I would have of it, and I've seen a lot of people bring this up, like, is it does lean very heavily on the realism side of things. So like you need to eat, you need to sleep, or like your vision will start to get blurry. And they were even like, if you don't eat frequently enough, you can die. So you do
like
need
literally
to
literally die.
You can literally die in the game if you do not eat. So you do need to kind of keep up. There's a lot of like meters to keep an eye on.
Oh, interesting. It's almost like survival, like a survival game, survival RPG. Yeah.
Right. So again, I didn't get far enough to really see like, is this annoying, or is it kind of just something you know, throw some food into your mouth now and then and you keep going on. But I really appreciate like the very meticulously detailed nature of the historical side of it. Again, part of it is probably just where I am, but it's like, no, that's nice to see that they put that investment into trying to show you what that's like. Because I think we've all had that question of like, well, what was it like in medieval days? And the answer is like,
it was stinky
and miserable.
It's horrible.
But it's cool to see it through the eyes of this character in a game. That's a good way to experience it without the stank.
Yeah, it's not smell-o-vision. It's not a smell-o-vision game.
No,
yeah, you
it's
think
not.
That, oh, like when you were little, you're like, I want to live in a castle. It's like, you actually don't.
No.
These castles suck. Like they're cold and dark and like there's no toilets, you know? You have to like throw your latrine water out the
privy?
Window. There's no privy. There's a like a chamber pot. It's gross. It's gross. You don't bathe for months. Oh, God.
Or ever.
There's the plague, you know, it doesn't sound fun at all.
No.
But it's so cool that there's like a game that's very like rooted in realism in history. Like we both like love these kinds of like historical games. So we play Assassin's Creed because it's like, oh, I want to learn, like lightly learn about the history of the time period you're, you know, playing those games in. So yeah, that is really fascinating. I remember Haley, who is from the Min-Max crew that came on our podcast, a few months ago, was playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 at the time. And she was like, I love this game. Like I've been like meticulously like going through this game. I spent like, you know, hundreds of hours already in this like very deep kind of, yeah, like kind of a crunchier RPG, I guess. But yeah, high marks for the series.
Wow.
I think.
So that's the one game I've really been able to sink my teeth into. How about you?
Yeah. So kind of along the same lines as like a medieval-y kind of game. I still am keeping up with my potion crafting. This game just continues to hit. I don't know. Like it's just the game loop is really, really good. And now I'm just like uncovering more and more of my potion map and getting more and more like unique potions. And now I have this like other sort of task where I have to rebuild, like in the basement of like my little potion shop that I'm managing, there is like these alchemy machines that are broken. And now I finally unlock the ability to like repair those and make other materials. And those are really hard to craft. Like you have to make basically like a perfect potion for like many perfect potions. And to get like a perfect potion, you have to like meticulously map your potion bottle to that recipe and make sure it's like perfectly lined up on the map. So it's just a lot of like, I like feather that, that switch controller. I'm like, just a little bit of water, just a little bit of flour, just a little bit of stirring, a little bit of fire. And I'm just like, with the potion mapping, but, yeah, I unlocked like the first part of my alchemy machine. I don't know what I do with this like very hard ingredient that I crafted. I don't know what it's used for yet. So I'm like, something gonna happen soon. So now I'm very like curious about that. But there's a lot of layers that I didn't realize this game had. So it's like, it's really captured my interest. And I think I've gotten some people in our community to play it too, because now everyone's like, I'm addicted to this potion craft game. I'm like, I know, it's so good. So anyhow, I've been definitely keeping up with that. I'm like very high level. I'm like level 50 now. It's like crazy. I've also finally, I kind of feel like I've been doing this thing where I was like dabbling cyberpunk, where I was like, I'll play, you know, four games a night, and for 30 minutes of that night, I'll be playing a little bit of cyberpunk. But now I'm really focused on cyberpunk, especially because this is going to be our spoiler cast game for July. And now I'm like properly like sunk into the game. It's so good. Phantom Liberty. That's what I've been doing since I've beaten the main game already. But oh my gosh, what an incredible, like, I'm so locked in now. Like, I've met all these, you know, awesome characters. The story is so intriguing. Just like everything about it is so well done. I'm really interested in this like gritty Dogtown area that you're in. It just feels gross, but in like the best way. I love Idris Elba's character. Amazing stuff. Like, that is just next level incredible. I'm like just fascinated by all things cyberpunk. I just did, right before we recorded, I was playing, I just did like a pretty big mission. And I stopped like right before we were gonna record, and I was like, oh, I need to stop before I get too deep into it, because it was like a big cliffhanger. It's like, are you gonna do this thing? And I'm like, should I do it? but it's so good. It's so, so good. I'm so glad this is gonna be our spoiler cast game, because I have a lot of things I want to talk about, because it's amazing. And then lastly, because I was doing that indie game video, I wanted to check out this game Neva, which is by the same developer as a game that I love called Grease. And like when I saw this game, it was in like an indie world a while back. I was really, really scared to play it, because it had some cute animals that may or may not be getting hurt, and I was like, oh no, I can't do this. And I think I cried when I watched that trailer. So I was like, can I handle this? But I gathered my strength to play this game so I could see if I would recommend it to you guys or not. And it's really good. I definitely was like heartbroken in the very beginning of the game, but I'm okay now. And it's been going well. I think I'm almost done with it, actually. I think I'm at like the very end. And I'm curious to see how the story wraps up, but it's beautiful. Like, the music is so incredible. Like the scenery, the art style is just absolutely amazing. It's like a very watercolory kind of art style. And yeah, Neva is the name of like your little spirit doggy companion. And it's really cute. I really hope it's going to be all right at the end of the game, but I think we're doing good so far. And I love it. It's great. I recommended it during the indie video as well, because I think Grease and Neva both together are just like two incredible games. So, yeah.
I know when you started Cyberpunk, you were having a lot of trouble like dialing in the brightness to be able to see properly like at night. Did you get that figured out?
I turned the HDR off.
And that solved it?
Step one. And that's much better. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Huh. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the brightness is all the way up. I did get out of that like really dark beginning where you're basically in the dark. Yeah. And now that if you're out in the world, like doing the everyday stuff, isn't that bad.
Okay.
And I've also figured out the controls that I did turn on, like I fiddled around with the controls are very customizable, which I love. And you can do gyro aiming. That is very nice.
So you're doing that.
I am doing that. I did try out the mouse controls as well too. Quite good, but I need to lay down. I can't do the.
You do a reclining mouse.
I really feel like someone should invent some kind of reclining mouse because who plays games like sitting up? Like, oh, that seems terrible. If you're not laying down with a dog next to you, what's the even point, really? So yeah, the gyro aiming has been great though. So I really love that they have so many ways to customize the controls. Now I'm great. Now I'm kicking butt at the game. Like I was having a hard time in the beginning, but I've got some really good weapons. Now I'm like headshotting people. I have like all these different mods where I can like that I focus on like critical stuff, like critical hits or whatever. And it's like I can like one shot kill people. So it's been really, really fun to finally like kind of dial that in a little bit better.
All right, so we have some cyberpunk stuff in the news this week, so why don't we switch over to the news? But first, let's talk about this Nintendo Investor Q&A, which happened recently, and they published the full transcript from this. And again, this stuff is just available for the public to see, so if you want to go to the Nintendo Investor Relations site, like you can pull this up and read it. They have a full English, a real English translation, not some bunk Google Translates that's something people posting on the internet. This is the real deal if you want to know what they exactly said. But there were a couple interesting things here that we pulled out and wanted to talk about a little bit. And it's so these are answers mostly from Mr. Furukawa, but there's other people on the board of directors who will sometimes chime in. It's so interesting how Mr. Furukawa answers these questions because a lot of time, like the majority of his response is just kind of restating the question and then like he'll have like a one line at the end where he actually provides some new comment or insight on it. And there's a couple questions where he's just like completely dismissive out of like, we're not doing that. or like, are you out of your mind, sir?
He's very business minded. He's a very like to the point. I get the sense that he's like, I don't have time for this.
Right.
Like,
we always heard stories of like some of these investors are out to lunch. They've got crazy things that are important to literally them and nobody else, but you just have to kind of grin and bear it as they sit there and ask you the question.
Right.
So, and they put that in the transcript too. So it's kind of funny to see all of that stuff. So the first thing that came up was, Nintendo's plans for, they call it visual content, but it's, you know, TV and movie projects. And they did confirm that they have projects beyond what's already been announced for Mario and Zelda. In his specific words, although we cannot discuss our plans beyond the Legend of Zelda movie at this time, we are working on various other projects.
Plural.
I'm not surprised by this.
I mean, why would they not be working on various other projects that could potentially make them billions of dollars? Why not? Not surprised at all by this. This is something that, I mean, they literally, you know, spun up a team to do just this. They bought a studio, or like, you know, another company that does just this. So obviously they're going to be using those resources. I am excited to see like Zelda and Mario, obviously like the obvious first choices for something like this. But there is like that third tier that kind of opens up a lot of possibilities for what that next thing is beyond Mario and Zelda. You know, is it Metroid? Is it Donkey Kong? Is it Fire Emblem? Is it, what is it? You know, there's a lot of, opportunities and a lot of, options to choose from. So I'd be interested to see what they pick for that like next tier project.
Yeah. These questions kind of get more interesting as we go deeper into them. Yeah. The visual content one was kind of like, yeah, we assume so. The next question was around, is the Switch 2 too expensive to get that very important kids audience in the door? And They answered this question by saying, like, well, we think that the price of the Switch 2 is appropriate for what you are getting. And I'll just read this next paragraph from him because I thought it was very interesting. It's true that Switch 2 has a higher price point than our past gaming systems. We are creating various opportunities outside of gaming for young children to engage with Nintendo characters and game worlds, with one of the ultimate goals being that they will eventually play on our gaming systems. We are closely monitoring to what degree the price of the system might become a barrier.
Hmm. Didn't we say this exact same thing recently?
We did. It's that last sentence here that makes me think that the person asking this question kind of hit on a bit of a tender spot of discussion within Nintendo of like, yeah, we actually are slightly worried about this as well. And this is the path that we chose to go down, but we are keeping a very close eye on this and might have some things in our back pocket to put out there if things are not going well.
Better get that Switch 2 Lite ready to go. No, I'm not kidding. That is the strategy that they will do if they realize that their audience is fallen off. Because right now we talk about this a lot. It's like they're very focused on like the easiest audience to get, which is all of us. We're like the super engaged Nintendo fan, and they're all of us probably have purchased a Switch 2 or will purchase a Switch 2 by the end of this year. Some may be waiting for Metroid, some might be waiting for Donkey Kong or whatever other holiday game they have coming. But by the end of this year, you probably would have generally gotten most of the core engaged Nintendo fan, and they're going to be looking to expand that circle out. And if they find that the kid audience is just not doing it, or parents aren't doing it because it's really, really, really expensive to get your 8-year-old a $500 gaming system, better get that Switch 2 Lite ready. It's like a 2DS.
It is an interesting sort of shift of the strategy, where before it was like immediately for everybody, the end goal of all these other projects is get people playing on the dedicated game systems. And now it's like, well, for people who are a bit older, that's still the goal. But like, there's this recognition like, oh, there might be this barrier for kids. So until they get to that point, we need to sustain them through these other things that we have going on. And I think for the most part, I can understand that. But you do need to have a steady stream of those things to keep them that engaged and that interested. Yeah. So I think that's part of the we're keeping an eye on it element of this.
Yeah. When we were leaving Nintendo, that kid audience became the most important audience for Nintendo to market to, like beyond any other audience. Like when we were, you know, there was a period of time when Animal Crossing, for example, where like the most important audience was women, to get more women into the Nintendo ecosystem. And now as we were leaving, it became the kids audience. And I was like, thank God I'm leaving, because I do not want to do this job. Marketing to kids is so incredibly difficult to do. Like, it is almost impossible, and there is no way to track it because you can't capture data from young kids. Like, that's just like not possible. And like, these kids are weird. Like, who knows what the heck they like? And it's just like the most difficult job for a marketer is to market to kids. And so I was like, thank God, see you later, I'm not doing this. So they got their work cut out for them, for sure. And I do get the sense of like tension with this last sentence, because they know how difficult it is to sustain and to capture that audience. And I don't think they've really figured it out yet for this generation at all. So should be fun to watch and see.
Last thing we pulled out of here was a question around just acknowledging that games these days are very expensive to make, take a long time to make, and how is Nintendo managing the risk? And they do acknowledge, like, yeah, it's true. This is a high-risk business, and it's never been more high-risk than it is now. But Furukawa did say that they are devising ways to maintain their, quote, traditional approach to creating games. And they also talked a lot about how they believe strongly that you can make high-quality games with a short development period, without a huge monetary investment. And that's one of their solutions to this problem, which I think is really fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've always known this. Honestly, they do so much better than other big publishers on making sure they have a scalability in terms of the development cycles and the budgets and things like that with different games. And so it's good that there continues to be a focus and recognition of that. So I think that's good, you know, and maybe, just maybe, their little variable pricing stuff will actually make sense because they are, you know, having this more broad scale of different types of games and different scale and length of development and cost and investments and things like that. So we shall see. Only time will tell, but it's good that they've acknowledged that this is a focus area for them.
Yeah, I think we can see like some of the games that fit this plan. Like last year, Echoes of Wisdom, I think, is like, hey, look, we can make a Zelda game that's still really high quality, but it's not going to break the bank and it's not going to take us the 8 years that it took us to make Tears of the Kingdom. And I think looking at a game, you know, you look at the games that are announced for Switch 2, and I think there's a couple of them that even fall into this category. The one that I was thinking about is Splatoon Raiders. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that has, you know, the full Splatoon presentation, but it seems, from the very limited information we have, it seems to have a pretty tight focus. And also, you know, a good purpose for bringing kind of a non-multiplayer experience to Splatoon fans. So I think, you know, as more games get announced for the Switch 2, this is just something we can keep in the back of our minds and see, like, how is this one of these games, or is this one where they are breaking the bank and going all out?
Well, it depends on how much we pay for it.
That
hopefully,
too.
Hopefully they'll price it in a way, like, how much is Splatoon Raiders going to cost?
Yeah.
It's probably not an $80 game, hopefully.
No.
It's probably going to be like a $50 to $60 game, right? Depending on the scope of the
game. I don't know about 50.
Oh, 30?
Oh, now let's pump 40? The brakes on 50. But I mean, I would love that, but we'll see.
Well, at least it won't be 80.
Yes, we can agree on that. So Cyberpunk, we were talking about Cyberpunk. So over, I think it was last weekend, Anime Expo happened, and surprise announcement, Cyberpunk Edgerunners 2 was announced. And if you didn't know, so Cyberpunk excited. Edgerunners is this anime story based in the Cyberpunk universe that was on Netflix. It was done by Studio Trigger. We both watched it. We both absolutely loved it. They're very light on the details of what's in the sequel, but it seems to go beyond the main character of the first one, who presumably died in part one.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. He seems surely to have not made it. But I don't know. I mean, maybe some speck of a brain cell could come back and go on. Who knows?
But about Lucy?
Well, it sounds like she is prominently involved.
She's
in the sequel, which is
Lucy.
Great.
Maybe she'll find a new love.
I think we want Although to bring this up to say, if you want to participate in the spoiler cast and all of that, like, this, consider this a must watch.
We'll be spoiling this if Kit hasn't already spoiled it for you right now by telling you David's dead.
This but was in their announcement. It's not a spoiler.
It literally says in the announcement, David's story might be over. So yeah.
might be over after he was absolutely obliterated in the first one.
I cried so much. Okay. The music in this anime is some of the best music ever. If you don't even want to watch this, just listen to the soundtrack because it's so good. I actually listened to it recently, like yesterday, because I saw this announcement and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I love this. So I'm so excited that it's coming back.
Lastly, we do have to end with a bummer story. We didn't get a chance last week to talk about these Xbox layoffs and cancellations and studio closures. So we did want to take a moment to talk about that. And just to kind of quickly summarize everything that happened, a lot of people on the Microsoft gaming team were laid off. Games were canceled. Rare's Everwild got canceled. The new Perfect Dark game got canceled. And that studio actually got closed. There were a number of unannounced games that got canceled. Just a major slashing of resources, people, projects across the board at Xbox. And you and I haven't had really a chance to talk about this. What was your reaction to everything?
I just feel like that sort of the game side is just getting the squeeze, like the vice grip squeeze from the rest of Microsoft, and I have seen some other stories that sort of were pointing to, you know, resources and budgets are being diverted from their games business to fund their AI business, which is gross. But it's like, this is the danger when you are part of like a bigger thing, like you are just one part of this like much bigger business, and they have sometimes much different goals. And yeah, I don't think Phil, you know, like I'm sure he's just getting like completely like pressured by his bosses, like you need to cut to this, you know, cut this percentage or cut to this amount, because that is the budget you're going to get. And that's it. You know, there's no, we're not like, this is not a discussion. We're not, you know, we're not going to, you can't say anything to change the direction of this. So that's the feeling that I get. And it's just, it really sucks because yeah, when you're emboldened to this bigger thing, like this is the danger of it, you know?
Yeah. It just feels like they're so far under the corporate thumb that they really have no recourse. And very little independence anymore in what's going on. It's like you need to align with what overall Microsoft is doing. And that's the danger of these things that are kind of smaller initiatives within a bigger company, is like, well, sometimes the bigger company is going to be going in a different direction that's not going to work so well for them. It's been okay for Sony because PlayStation became such a big part of the overall Sony business, but that never really happened with Microsoft. And people did point out like, well, Xbox is growing. They're finally starting to see some positive growth in areas that are profitable. But other people pointed out like Microsoft is growing so fast now with this kind of AI push that they're making. The numbers like really don't look that good in comparison. It's like, well, why can't you make it this percent growth like the rest of the company? It's really just a sad and unfortunate thing. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, whatever Xbox was for the past 20 years is really no more. And I just expect them to go more and more down this kind of third party path. Yes, they're still going to do hardware. They've already said that they're going to do hardware, but even that already seems like that's going to be something very different. That's also bringing in all of these different storefronts. So it's just a really sad thing to see, you know, so many people lose their jobs, so many projects that could have been really promising and positive, just not have a shot anymore at a company that clearly has the resources to make all of this happen. So I just feel terrible for everybody involved.
Yeah, it really stinks when that side of the business is not their priority anymore, you know, because this is the effect of that, is like the awful, you know, cancellation of so many cool sounding games and all these people, unfortunately losing their jobs and stuff. But it just feels like, oh my gosh, like there's nothing they can, it's like you're just watching it happen. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, even the people that potentially have the power inside Microsoft, like a Phil Spencer, you know, it's like, you're just like watching it happen to you and you literally have no power to change it, which just, that must feel awful. You know, it must be just an awful feeling. I did see kind of a companion story that came out, I think maybe yesterday, where one of the heads of the studios that closed did make a comment about Game Pass being like really, really unsustainable. And I wonder, yeah, if, you know, it was sort of like this like race to the bottom kind of situation. Like we talk about like streaming services being like a race to the bottom, because it's like, how sustainable is this model? And this like rapid buying of all these studios that they did a few years ago, it's just like this, it just feels very unsteady. And unfortunately, I think this is the result of that, those decisions. Really sad and just a bummer overall to see, you know, it becoming this like kind of much different thing that we grew up with and that we used to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the news. Some people last week did mention, hey, where was your Q&A segment in last week's podcast? Well, we're not doing those for these 2 weeks because we're well beyond the midnight hour for Krista. She's yawning.
We're
trying to find a way to keep these episodes a little bit shorter,
yes.
But we'll be back in full force with next week's episode once I am back.
Yes. Once you're returned from your great France vacation.
Indeed. But in the meantime, don't forget to check us out on Patreon. We are at patreon.com/kitandkrista. Get the awesome behind the scenes that we have been doing. Get the bonus Q&As. Those are still going. Get the Cyberpunk spoiler cast. And guess what? Get every other spoiler cast we've done in the past. Why don't you?
It's Claire Obscure, where I declared that it was my game of the year. We'll see if that
use topples. Krista's words against her.
Oh, no, you can. You can join patreon.com/kitandkrista. I say a lot of random stuff in that Discord. We are on social. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and Threads.
And the road to 100K, which we may have already toppled. Guess what? You don't need to stop. You can still subscribe on YouTube. Give this video
200K.
Oh, boy. I'm going to need to sit down first and give this, leave us a comment. If you're listening on audio, you can also subscribe, give the podcast a 5-star rating, and leave a written review if you please.
All right, let's shout out some amazing Patreon community members, starting with Final Boss Aaron Hash.
Again, the incredible Aaron Hash donated this Switch 2 that we are doing for this giveaway that is happening right now. Absolute incredible stuff by our very own Final Boss. Thank you, Aaron Hash.
Aaron Hash is the most generous Final Boss that I've ever had, ever. Okay, superstars. I'm going to do a chunk, and then you're going to do a chunk.
All right.
You ready? Here we go. Ben Eichhorn, Maru Mayhem, Eigenverse, Kiss My Flapjack, Mike Chin, Rory Eschke, Switching It Up _, VGM Life, Link, The Hero of Winds, Angela Bycroft, Thomas O'Rourke, Kyle LaBeouf, Roberto Nieves, Frederick Wolf Conradson. Take it away.
All right, we got Andrew Yuhas, Chili, Simon, Krishuri, Master Discord, Ash, Ajay Kundlis, 40 Gig, Travis Torline, Echo Ladare, That's So Linnell, MSM Poke Gamer, Cameron, R Burns, Igami, Kit10K, Adrian, and Nathan Clover.
Yay! And we're going to go for the 1UP Club graduation service. I will do a chunk and you will do a chunk. A Ron Burgundy, Ad Cool 2000. Aldo, Ale Alejandro. Oh, wait. Ale Alejandro and Alejandro. Oh, boy. Roz Kaborigo. Oh, I'm so sorry. Alex Blackwelder. I'm sorry. Ellie. Andy Peachy. Andy Robinson. Angel Aid. Aristu. Astral Void. Astro Dev. Atticus Hogbin. Awesome 46. Axel. B No, Bad at Smash, Bad Moon Arising, Barnstorm, Bates, Benji B, Big and Gamer with a Y, Brad SF56, Brandon Kavopel, Brent Dennison, Brian Decker, Brovac Novak, Brewstash, Bucky Flores, Callsign Forte, Cashew, Chadir, Chelly Squirrel, Chicken, Chris Fisher, Crispy Saurus, Christina, Christopher Lay, Colleen Finnegan, Cosmic Titan 718, Captain Alex, C. Roper 17, Dog DeLeo, Dallas E, Daniel S, Dogson, Delving with Dilford, Debbie P, Doinko, Dre, Eccentric Tony, L. Hugo, Elite Peach, Esparts 50, Furbound, Fernie and Jess Forever, Fox Deploy, Gamer Nerd 78, Gamers Like Anime, Garf the Wolf, Gartooth, Journey, Jin Wolf, Guilty Phoenix 42, Handheld Gamer, Happy Sloth, I May Have Made a Mistake, Iris Marin, It's Your Boy, Jay Hov, Yvette, Jay Rando, Jameson Eisenberg, James, Jason Ball 34, Joe Encarnacion, Joel, John Diaz, Jonathan Rowe, John Calm Boy, Jordan Hemerly, Joseph Gunther, Joshua Clements, Judy Fruit, Justin Leminger, Jay Wolf, Callan, CPU 57, Kawa 2796, Kevin Delane, Kevin Marino, Kilo Kibo, Klefki to My Heart, Christopia Party with Me, KS3261, Kyle Gamer Barry Rookie, Kyle 325, Kyle Kretzer, Kyle R. Smith, Lazy Cat for Coffee, Leah Rao, Lex, Lightwood, Link 9898, Lil Mikey, Linko, Lit, Lucas Pico, Luigi Kid, Luke Hayabusa, Luna B, Lynn. Take it away.
We got Macho Potato, Mad Dog 5981, Magnificent Easy G and Callie Marie, Macho Man 392, Mark S, Marky Man 64, Maverick Nate, Mecha Dragon 101, Megan, May plus Leon, Michael Mazer, Michael O'Hara, Michael Wong, Mikey, Mr. Ryan 07, Motomania, Mr. Andy Pong, Mr. Beans and Dip, Mr. Disneyland, Mitran, Nasir, Nayef E, Nigba Reeves, Ninbendo 64, Ninja 11, Noah-san, Omega Index Card, Pangy, Paper Boat, Patrice Millette, Paul, Paul Gale Network, PokeDigiFan 20, Prime Factor, Prince Charmless, Punky, Rain Tech, Reckless Thomas, Rob M, Rob O, Romsky 113, Rox, Rusty Shackleford, Ryan Haas, Ryanetta, Sage Gamer, Sebastiano Garase, Sega, Sharif Jackson, Shinryu, Shiny Elizabeth, Slowbro, Schmiggles, Shump, Snazzle, Spacey Poo, Spicy Munchkin, Steel Citrone, Steven Johnson, Steven Rockoff, Pseudo Priest, Symbiote Spidey, Tales of Link, Tandem, Tay120N64, TealFox64, The Kaggers, The Quiet One, Sarah O.T., The Shark Among Men, The Schmidt One, The T-Man, Thomas Alvarez, Three Rivers, Titanium Soldier, Torcheeks, Totally Joed, Toadamaro, Trajowie, Trevor Collins, Tug's Puppy Bear, Tuscoob, Thailander16, Tyler Geis, Tyler McSwain, Vash, Vigmictor, Vinny to the K, Viridian, VirtualBot, Waffles, WG Grizzy, Wicked Davey, William Brimer, Zachary S, Zelgaroth, Zapatty, Zero Link, and Zoid.
Wow. How do you pronounce that person's name?
At the new one at the top?
Yeah, you do it.
I'm going to say that that is Alejandro Orozco Borrego.
That's pretty good.
I will be handling that one from near on. From near Don't on? You worry, Alejandro. I've got you.
Whew. I like
How
it.
Is your energy level at 1:30 or whatever time it is over there?
1:15.
Oh, boy.
I think I need to go to bed now, but it was pretty
good. Could
it
be better.
It's pretty good until now.
Yes, we did it, and we will be back together in studio next week.
Yes, no more midnight recordings, although no. I think I'm like a little spicy during these. Maybe you like it. I don't know. My brain gets a little tired, and I get spicy. All right, I'm going to go to bed. You're going to get on with the rest of your vacation, and we'll see you guys later.
Bye. Bye-bye.